This radio program is PG-13. Parents strongly caution some material may be inappropriate for children under the age of 13. Send me free. Jesus' mission was to comfort those who mourn, bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to captives, and open prison doors for those who are bound. For those who want more than status quo Christianity has to offer, Blazing Grace Radio begins now. And here is your host, Mike Janung.
Hey, Mike Janung here, and welcome back to Blazing Grace Radio on a blazing hot day here in Phoenix, Arizona. Supposed to be hitting 107 today and moving toward hotter weather. But hey, I love it here in the Valley of the Sun and the desert, and I'm a desert rat. But so back in the 90s, I attended a conference and Focus on the Family in Colorado Springs, and they shared the results of surveys at the time showing that 75% of youth are leaving the church. And when I heard that, that just stunned me. And this is more than 25 years ago. And then fast forward today, we're seeing that big time, the fruits of that. So when we moved here in 2020, we've been seeing, you know, visiting a lot of churches. And there's a lot of gray hair, mostly gray hair in a lot of those churches. Some of those churches, there's not a whole lot of youth there, which should really terrify us, because if you lose your youth, you lose the generation, you lose the church, you can even lose the country, and that's happening right now big time. So I try and have youth on the show when we can to give them a voice and to hear what they're going through, because sometimes I don't think they're being heard, and their perspective can open our eyes to some things. So today I have with me Joel Barnes. Joel grew up in the Midwest, in Wisconsin and Minnesota. He's in his 20s. He has worked in architecture and engineering by trade and has been called by God in the past couple of years to work with Polish and Ukrainian people. He's also been leading and participating in several youth groups. And so we'll be speaking to Joel this week and next week. So Joel, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me, Mike. I appreciate it.
So let's move forward and begin with having you share your story.
Sure. So I think I have a fairly typical story, at least at the beginning, that a lot of people have. I said a very classic prayer that a lot of people pray, you know, "Dear Jesus, come into my heart." I was raised in a Christian home. But also, like I think a lot of people can relate to, my relationship with God didn't really start to get serious until a bit later on. I attended church, BS, Awana, all that sort of stuff. But it wasn't until I had an experience at about 13 where a crazy drunk man tried to drown me. In which I started taking my relationship with God a bit more seriously than I previously had. There were a couple of churches that I attended primarily through my early life. We'll call them Church Number 1 and Church Number 2. I went to Church Number 1 through my single-digit years, a good chunk of my single-digit years, into my teens. And then my family moved about 45 minutes away to another city. We were still moderately close to the first church, but after a few weeks of traveling back and forth quite a distance to that church, my family made the decision to start attending a different one. So I went to Church Number 2 for a while. I didn't really connect super well while I was there. And when the time came for me to go to school, to college, I chose a Christian university that I attended for about a year. And while I was there, I hopped around to a few different churches that friends recommended and were close by. But weirdly enough, despite being around so many Christians, had a hard time taking my faith seriously. I drifted away, and it wasn't until afterwards I made the decision to switch degrees and schools, attended a tech school to study architecture. And then shortly after that, I had a good friend of mine that I'd known from church number one invite me to a young adult group that was starting up that was associated with that same church. So I started going to that. And after a while, I made the decision to start attending Sunday services. It was a little bit weird because when I went there, there were long-term members who had been there for a long time that I knew that people within the young adult group didn't, because I had been there for a good chunk of time when I was much younger. I had the opportunity to participate in that young adult group, help lead it on a few occasions because the leader of that group was getting married, pour into the lives of people within that group, and also work with kids, which was fantastic. I love working with young kids. Unfortunately, there was a series of events that happened in late 2021 that really caused a lot of problems, and it became apparent to me that there was spiritual warfare and other things going on in the background that really had an impact on me and others, and it was apparent that Satan was trying to tear people down, and in some ways was successful. In late 2021, I had a major car problem, followed by a move, a breakup with a girl that I really, for a while, thought I was going to marry, followed by several really major deaths in close circles. And I was left pretty broken up over it. And so I turned to my friends within the church and was pretty aghast by the fact that most of them didn't really have an interest in talking through it with me. They didn't want to be there for me. They saw me as a bit of a wet blanket on their fun time, and they pushed me away. And it made things extremely challenging. I suddenly lost the vast majority of my friends. And if it wasn't for two really close friends that stuck with me, I might not be here today. Mm. It became apparent a few months after that, in the early months of 2022, that there was more going on behind the scenes. It came out that the lead pastor of that church, he had been pastor there for 30 years, was having affairs with multiple young women within the church, one of which was married, and another who they've done investigations and concluded that she was 18 at the time that this started. But it's quite possible that there is at the very least grooming taking place prior to her being 18. Keep in mind that this pastor is in his 60s. And it was not the only time something like this had happened to me. It was probably the most impactful, but the second church that I had attended, the one in between my two stints at the first church, the lead pastor of that church was accused of being inappropriate with several ladies in the congregation. And I had other friends that attended another major church in the area who had their pastor caught having a lot of inappropriate activity with people within the church. And so I'm sure it doesn't come as a huge surprise to Mike or maybe many of the listeners here, but this is not uncommon. It happens all over the place, and it can be really challenging to deal with. And I think when I took a step back from that church, I started to drift away again. There were a few things that I was trying to process and came to a couple of pretty major conclusions. One is that the actions of Christians within the church, God is not responsible for that. People are sinners, people screw up, and they're going to screw up in pretty major ways. And it would be really easy. It would have been really easy for me, and I'm sure many others, to walk away from their faith because of something like this happening. And it's awful and terrible. But it's what Satan wants. He is, it says in 1 Peter chapter 5, that he is like a lion stalking, looking for prey to devour. And I think he genuinely wants to tear apart the church, and he will do that often by starting with their leaders. And so if our faith is rooted in a single Christian leader within the church, or even a few people with the expectation that they're never going to screw up, we may have our faith shaken or even broken as a result. The other thing that I really wrestled with and God put on my conscience and called out to me and convicted me is it would be easy enough to watch something like this happen and just say to yourself, oh, I would never do that. The same way we look at passages in the Bible, like the people of Sodom and Gomorrah, Peter, when he denied Christ, Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when they choose to take a bite out of the fruit. It'd be easy enough to look at those things and say, I would never do that. And it is a grave error to do so. We have to be cautious and aware of the fact that there is the same sin nature in us as was in them that can cause us to do horrible things. And I looked at the aftermath of what happened with my pastor and really thought to myself, I could do something horrible if I don't keep my sin in check. And in particular, God convicted me of pornography. I was exposed to it in major ways for the first time when I was at college, when I was 19. From what I hear, I wasn't exposed to it until late in comparison to a lot of people. I had little bits of exposure to what we'd call softcore pornography, where, you know, the women are still technically clothed. But the major problems began when I was 19. And I recognized that it was going to become a problem. Unfortunately, not right at the time that it happened, but not until after seeing the aftermath of what happened with my pastor. And I look at it, and this pastor was there for 30 years. I'm sure he did not enter the church and start leading the church thinking to himself, I'm going to use my power to spiritually abuse and sexually abuse people. It was discovered that it sounds like the majority of this sort of thing didn't start happening until the final 3 or 4 years of his time at the church. But I'm sure there were problems within his heart from the very beginning. It might have started with digital pornography. It might have started with magazines. It might have started with some other form of lust, but it was certainly there. And eventually it evolved into what we saw happen. And so I turned to one of these two friends that I had gotten very close with when I had all this happen to me, and said, this is a problem. I had started working on it, but I wanted to take a more serious effort and really turn to God and to my friends to help deal with it. It wasn't something that I wanted to sweep under the rug anymore. It's something that I spoke up about more publicly and openly. That's why I'm talking about it now. And I wish I had had a more daily interaction with a group of people or friends as a support system. Unfortunately, it wasn't to the degree that I hoped, but I have come a long way since then and been made aware of the fact and convicted of the fact that if we don't address this in our churches and in our own lives, it can become a really big problem and blindside and hurt a lot of people as a result. The last thing that kind of came about from all of this, and once again, it's wonderful seeing God work for good in the midst of all of this, was that I felt pushed to go do ministry in Eastern Europe, in Poland, and also to Ukrainian people. And I would have never believed during my time as an engineer that that would be something that I'd be doing. I am very much a homebody and an introvert, and it is only through God's amazing calling that I was able to do that. But I'll share a bit more about that later. I want to give Mike a chance to ask any questions he may have.
Yeah. Well, for an introvert, you're doing pretty good going on the radio so far. So.
Thanks. I try and forget the fact that a bunch of people are listening to me. For now, it's just you and me.
So you talked about when you were going through this tough time in 2021 where people were pushing you away.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we see a lot of in people who come to us for help is that spiritual abuse is a very large, usually untouched vein in the church. And some of the problems with that is people just don't want to go there when it talks about talking about others' pain or suffering. So from your perspective, what's going on in church culture that people are already being groomed at youth that we don't deal with our heart?
There's a lot of things I could say about that. In many ways, and it's not every church, I don't want to make a blanket statement about all of them, but there are many churches that I have visited through the years, tried to connect with, where it's very apparent that church has kind of become a bit of a country club. There are people who maybe attend on Sundays, maybe don't, and they just want the ability to be a part of the club. They show up, they sing some songs, they hear basic message, nothing that's particularly convicting. And even if they are, you know, convicting, they don't really put it into practice throughout the week. The other really big part of it, too, is the number of churches that I've been to where a couple of really big things are missing surprise me. Because if you look at Acts and the New Testament, there is a very clear setup for how we are supposed to do church. And the two things that I see missed most are prayer and service. I see a lot of churches that don't have a prayer group, or maybe they do, but it's like five little old ladies where the rest of the congregation doesn't get involved in it. And I actually think both of the two things that I listed in many ways are more important than the Sunday service. But because of the way that church is set up, there's this expectation that church happens on Sundays. That's how you're going to get new visitors and attendees. But missing out on prayer and missing out on serving other people really leave a huge gap, especially for youth. I think that young adults and even people in middle school and high school have this idea that the events that happen related to them within the church are a fun time. Things like Awana, VBS, maybe a trip to do like a one-week mission for a year, per year, which it's not enough. Churches should have something that happens on, at the very least, a monthly basis, weekly or daily would be even better, where the church is getting involved in helping the community and each other in some way. If there's someone who's struggling within the church, be there to listen for them. I can't think of any other way to say it. I think what you said earlier about, you know, people feeling kind of uncomfortable about people who are hurting and want to stay away from that, it's true, and it shouldn't happen. Mm. And I don't think it's very biblical to do so.
Yeah, and what we see in the book of Acts is they are devoted to teaching, fellowship, and prayer, yet 80% of believers are isolated, meaning they don't have a group like you go to, and they don't go to prayer meetings like you mentioned. So as you're growing up in these youth groups, were they mentoring you and teaching and challenging you to have a prayer life?
Not really. No, it was about having fun games. We'd play Frisbee and go on bike trips and go to camps where we sing about a God that we didn't frankly understand.
Mm. And how about spiritual warfare? You talked about that in 2021. Were you equipped and prepared in that area?
I'd say probably not. No, I think the biggest foundation for that is starting with prayer and understanding the tools that the enemy uses. I think sometimes talking about hell and talking about Satan and the attacks that he has is also often a subject that's off limits. At least in depth, it is.
Did you hear those topics much in the church services or in youth group?
Not enough to remember it. It's possible they were brought up once or twice, but I would say with certainty it was not brought up in youth group. It might have been brought up a couple of times in a Sunday service, but mostly in a casual way of, you know, the pastor at the very end of a sermon saying, you know, we pray for protection against the enemy and his attacks in like a 5-second thing. And I as a, you know, teenager, early 20s guy was thinking, I don't know what that means.
So there was no equipping. I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it doesn't sound like there was any equipping at all in spiritual warfare.
Not really. Not even close to the degree that it probably should have been.
And when we live in a day when the enemy is taking ground right and left, and not only youth, but adults are walking away from the church, I mean, isn't that big-time warfare?
Absolutely. The most common time to walk away is between the ages of like 18 and 25. You go to university and end up hearing a bunch of secular ideas, sometimes even within Christian supposed schools, and get a wrong idea of what your relationship with God is supposed to look like. Some people choose to completely walk away from it as a result, or they just never had the foundation there in the first place and see more exciting and enticing things and decide not to go back. I think a big piece of it is that the church doesn't really know how to use younger people. If we told them, hey, you can be a part of this movement, God can use you as well. If you go out and serve people, give young people opportunities to serve individually and as groups. A lot of times until you're married, the church doesn't really know what to do with you.
So David was a teenager when he took down Goliath, and Jeremiah, when he was called as a prophet, was 20 years old. So are you saying that youth are not being given a mantle to go out and being fighters? They're just being set aside to go have your fun and, oh, well, that's it?
I'd say that's accurate. And to add to your point, most of the disciples were probably in their teens or early 20s as well. There are... And I don't want to put the whole onus on the church. It certainly is important to do that. But in the lack of a situation like that, if we have people that are listening right now that are young, that are struggling with these things, go ask your church how you can serve. And if they stutter and fumble and don't know what to do, say, no, seriously, can I deliver food to someone? Can I go help someone fix their car? Whatever skills God has equipped you with, whatever gifts God has given you, and sometimes even the ones he hasn't, ask him for it. Pray to him and pray for opportunities to serve. It's important to know that God can do anything without us. He doesn't need us. But I am firsthand experienced in the fact that it is a wonderful blessing to see God at work and to be able to participate in his plan. So being able to do that is wonderful. And I would encourage you to go do it.
So it sounds like what I'm hearing you saying, we have a minute left, is that youth are saying, show me how I can have an impact and have it make a difference. Is that true?
I think sometimes. I think it's on both sides to participate. There are certainly situations, myself being an example, where I looked for opportunities to serve and was kind of relegated to the junior club. Like, oh, yeah, you know, we've got this one trip that's coming up in 6 months that you can participate in if you want to. And we're mostly going to be having fun, but we're going to hand out some Bible tracts for the last hour. Mm-hmm. Take the young people seriously. Mentor them, but give them the chance to step up. And for those who maybe don't step up, for those who have walked away for other reasons, who don't really feel an inkling to participate, I would call you to do so. Go ask the church how you can help if you haven't.
Challenge them. That's a part of what I'm hearing you say, too.
Absolutely. That is exactly how I'd put it.
All right, my friends, we're going to continue this conversation with Joel next week. So I encourage you to join us. And thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next time. Do you want to be free?
Blazing Grace is a nonprofit international ministry for the sexually broken and the spouse. Please visit us at blazinggrace.org for information on Mike Janung's books, groups, counseling, or to have Mike speak at your organization. You can email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call our office in Chandler, Arizona at 719-888-5144. Again, visit us at blazinggrace.org. Email us at email@blazinggrace.org or call the office at 719-888-5144.
This program was sponsored by Blazing Grace Ministries.